although is, so it's not sacramental, though it's in the sacraments. The Holy Spirit can also be very uncomfortable because it can show up bits in our lives which are not very nice. The Holy Spirit actually is in the Bible from the beginning. And if you look at the second verse of Genesis, we read, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." And it also affected various characters down throughout the Old Testament. When Moses came down from the mountain of meeting with God, his face was just glowing. When he had the meeting with the 70 elders in the desert, there was such a presence of the Holy Spirit that all the 70 elders started prophesying. We had people who were empowered for specific purposes at special times. People like Gideon, Jephthah, Othniel, Samson, Saul, and David. For Jesus, his ministry didn't start until after he'd been baptized in the Jordan. And he was then led by the Spirit into the desert. And he comes back from that, in the power of the Spirit. And he goes to his hometown in Nazareth. And they give him the scroll of Isaiah. And he reads the words, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." And the Holy Spirit was the sole source of his power throughout his ministry. And during his ministry, we read various bits in the New Testament about the Holy Spirit. When Nicodemus goes to him, he tells him that unless he is born again of water and spirit, you know, he has to be born also of spirit gives birth to spirit. To the Samaritan woman at the well, he said, "God is spirit, and the worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." Another occasion, on the last day of the feast, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this, he meant the spirit. And he talks to the disciples on the Last Supper. And when he meets them again on the first Sunday, he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." But actually what we read is they actually go back and go fishing again. They've gone back to the day job. But it's on the day of Ascension that Jesus tells them these instructions, these words. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised." And they spend 10 days waiting in prayer and praising. And then on Pentecost, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them. They were filled with the Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Peter, who only a few weeks before had been so frightened that he ran away and denied Jesus, stood up and preached boldly, quoting the words from John. And that day, 3,000 people came to Christ. And if you read the following verses and chapters in the book of Acts, it should really be called Acts of the Holy Spirit. You can see the power on the effect of the people concerned, and Paul's letters are full of instructions as what we should and shouldn't do. The question really is there ample evidence the Holy Spirit is still at work? Yes, there is. I mean, the ministry of John Wesley is a good point. In his journal, he wrote that he went to a meeting and his heart was strangely warmed. Some of you may have read the book by Jackie Pullinger, Chasing the Dragon. Jackie was a very devout young lady. She felt drawn to be a missionary, had no idea where to go. So she asked a vicar, and he said, "Get on a boat. Get off where you think God's leading you." So she thought, well, maybe I'll get to Africa. Anyway, she got off at Hong Kong, and she ended up working in a building, it's not there anymore. It was the walled city. It was controlled by the triads, full of drugs and vice. And she worked there. And she wasn't getting very far. But she met an American couple. And they led her to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And she started praying in tongues. And when she went out, she found the Chinese wanted to come to speak to her, wanted to hear about what about Jesus. She found that the gangsters suddenly started giving up their life and the bad ways and coming to Christ. She found that people who were on serious opium addicts were suddenly taken off their addiction without cold turkey. Well, that doesn't happen. I looked at it the other day and its article said that over 500 drug addicts have come off under her powers. And that's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, often the sharing slots here, but also in home groups and things, people's testimonies just speak as to how much the Holy Spirit is still working for people here and people's lives. Last week, Ian was included talking about our vision statement and also about with the diocese, about passion for Jesus. Passion is great for getting practical things done. You need to get practical things done. But without the Holy Spirit, it's not going to be that spiritually effective, as was demonstrated with John Wesley and Jackie Pullinger. My belief is that individually and collectively, we all need to be more filled and desiring more of the Holy Spirit. We need to draw closer to God. Sometimes we just need to rest in his presence. This morning I went out for a walk because often before I'm preaching, I just like to get just away and just to hear things. And I went to what's a place called Pitt's Wood behind me. It was, and just sitting there quietly, you could just hear the noise, the tweets of the different birds and smell the aromas and things. And sometimes we need to do that with God. We just need to just sit and rest and feel that those words, those sounds, those noises coming to us. And we need to absorb the atmosphere, the breath of God. And we need to work in God's strength on our own. And our passion will then be an attractive fire. John Wesley was asked about the secret of his ministry. And he said, I just set myself on fire and people come to see me burn. Tommy Tenney in God Catchers wrote, make sure you come before him dry, thirsty and hungry. Your job is to become the fuel of God. Fire without fuel is a smouldering failure waiting to happen. So I'm afraid I've got some key questions this morning for you. Do we want more? Do we want the life God wanted us to have? A life with meaning, purpose, hope. A life secure in knowing the love of God. A love that surpasses our knowledge, that we're filled with the fullness of God. Do we want more of the Holy Spirit? Do you want to know Jesus rather than just know about him? Do we want to be a son or daughter of God because we're led by the Spirit? Just go for those questions again and just give it time to think about it. Do you want more? Do you want the life God wanted you to have? A life with meaning, purpose, hope, and knowing God's love. Do you want more of the Holy Spirit? Do you want to know Jesus rather than just about him? Do you want to be really a son or daughter of God because you're led by his Spirit? So how do we start? Well, I'm afraid it's dropping anything that's not of God. Asking for forgiveness. By believing that Jesus is the Son of God and asking him to be Lord of our life. by asking for the Holy Spirit and to keep asking. Like I just keep, Eileen was saying, like keep praying. You've got to keep asking for more. Because Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks the door will be opened. If you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And we just have to come to God. It's, James wrote, you know, draw near to God and he'll draw close to you. You know, in order to burn and keep burning for God, we need the right fuel on our fire. Hunger to read God's word. Hunger to spend time in prayer and alongside with spirit-filled believers. A spiritual bonfire can be doused by moaning, failing to forgive, pride, unkindness, sinful behaviour, ignoring the Spirit's promptings. A big block actually is in there. It really is. A while back, I had several years where I desired the gift of being able to pray in tongues. And it wouldn't come. You know, I just thought, oh, this is nonsense, I'm making it all up. And it was about, I think it was about 9 years ago, I had to go to a meeting at Bedford. And I was driving along the A120 towards Braintree. And I thought, I'll have a go at this, you know. And all of a sudden, it just took off. And my tongue was going round in my mouth, and I was praying and praising God, and my tongue would not stop, and I wouldn't let it stop, and I did it all the way to Bedford. Quite honestly, it was an amazing experience, and I was so blessed by it that my mind had been the block. It really had. Other times, we want to control our lives. We just want to not let God in. And there's a guy, some of you may have heard of, David Watson, who died a number of years ago. And he used to give an illustration of having a hand in a glove. A glove on its own isn't a lot of use, really. I could perhaps go and give Harry a little gentle tweak, or my grandson, or whatever else. But the trouble is sometimes we just put little bits in, and it's a bit like Harry Corbett's sooty, isn't it, really? It's not a lot of use, really. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit to be in all our lives. And then we can use that hand. We can do things with it. But without it, we haven't got the power of God to be to use. But it's up to us to allow it in. Again, it's part of the mind. And we have to remember that, you know, our bodies are supposed to be temples of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're told in 1 Corinthians. You know, my real desire is that we all get in the car. We've got to get in the car. You know, it's no point looking at the car over there. We've got to get in. We've got to get in and we've got to drive it. We need to put the key in the lock. And I just hope that you're willing to do that. And if you are, perhaps you can just join in some prayers. I will pray them, but if you just, I'll probably repeat them. Just say them in your heart as well. Heavenly Father, we turn away from our sins and ask you to forgive us. We believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, and he came physically in order to destroy the power of darkness in our lives. We believe that Jesus paid for our sins because he loves us. Just open yourself to receive the forgiveness that Jesus is offering. Just allow yourself to just hear God saying, I forgive you. Just sense that forgiveness coming to you. and just thank him for it. Just invite you to open your hands as though you're about to receive a gift. Holy Spirit, please come into our hearts right now. Holy Spirit, please come into our hearts right now. Just fill our hearts with your love. Just fill our hearts with your love, Lord. Fill them. Fill our hearts. Let it just flow. Fill it such as overflowing. Like water going into a jug, just over the top, flowing out. Holy Spirit, we receive you now. Just breathe in the Holy Spirit. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. And just breathe out anything else. Just breathe in slowly. Breathe in the holy air of the Spirit. Just be conscious of Jesus. How wonderful he is. How much you love him, and how much he has done for you.